John, as you are mentioning that also, God's order in blessing. The first, he brings before them the heir, and then he brings before them the inheritance. In verse 11, you have David mentioned. And then in verse 12, you have the inheritance, what they will inherit. They lost sight of the heir. They were going after the inheritance. They want the inheritance. And even today, we are in the danger to look at the blesser, the blessings, and forget about the blesser. I think it was earlier made the comment that if we kind of take Christ out of everything, if it's be a place or a system or anything, there is nothing. It's really nothing, no matter how it was in the past. It is really, if Christ is not the center and the theme of everything, then it is empty. They wanted, they said, here comes the heir, let's kill him. And they wanted the inheritance. And God would not give an inheritance without the heir. We are blessed with all, with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, and it didn't stop there in Christ Jesus. What we need to realize is this, all of everything God have for us is in Christ. So Christ has to be preeminent first in our eyes, in our sight. And if we get that thing right, then everything comes right. I think we didn't talk about it, but I think it's important to mention, I think when he, in the visions, one of the vision was the plumb line in chapter 7 and verse 7, when Jesse was speaking about the locust and then the fire, and he interceded in everything. But when it came to that one, God did not even give him a chance to intercede, because the plumb line is actually, it's an old thing. And if anybody is an engineer here, I think he will explain it better than anybody else. Or if anybody in construction, this is how you make sure that the wall is vertical or the line is straight or something. So they have a thread or a rope, and in the bottom of it, there is a weight, and it just really goes for the center of gravity. Anyway, what is the plumb line? What is God's standard? I would look at it in two ways. The first thing is really the Lord Jesus. That's God's standards. If we want to live in this world today, we have him before our eyes. That's the standard. I need to kind of calibrate myself, not based on somebody who's sitting next to me, in front of me, beside me. I want to calibrate myself to the Lord Jesus. That will help us a lot. Not to conform to this world, I want to be transformed to the Lord Jesus. So that is the plumb line. That's number one. Number two is the word of God. Because again, it brings before us the air. This is really the, how I calibrate myself. Again, one would pray for myself and for all of us that when we are in a Bible study and reading the scripture, that it would calibrate me somehow. It will adjust me somehow. And brings before me the air. Bring before me the Lord Jesus. And if my sight is on him, if everything really now clear in my mind, then the blessings will come. The inheritance will come. These are things that God would give, like, here, you take that too. This is not really something, all of these things shall be added unto you. You'll get it. That's like a little something. I'll throw that to you. Nothing really important. But he wants us to focus on the heir. And then as a result of that, when we have that in the right order, then all of the blessing will come in. And the enjoyment of that blessing will come in. The blessings are ours. Today they are. Are we enjoying them? Are we living as heavenly people? Or are we, because mixing up with everything, we want these earthly blessing and we want to enjoy them today?
When we look at the verses that follow, we have this attraction of the Lord's promise of how full his blessing is. And I'd like to comment on these verses here and then look also at Hebrews for a moment to see that, first of all, the Lord says that the blessing is going to completely undo the loss. Now, sometimes there are, we already talked, for example, about David, who, when he sinned with Bathsheba and in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, there were these losses in his family, and those things were not prevented. consequences in God's government are often put in place and they are experienced. But there's also this principle that God is able to bring a relationship with him back to what we could have enjoyed before we strayed. And there's the verse in Joel where he talks about restoring the years that the locusts had eaten, which is to say that they suffered great loss because of this plague of locusts. And yet God was going to, in his goodness, give a blessing that would, I don't want to say make up for what they had lost, but it would be a blessing so that they would no longer be overwhelmed with sorrow at what they had lost. And when we see the blessings here in verse 13 and 14 and 15, the blessing in verse 13 is that the ground which is going to produce is going to be so fruitful that they won't be able to keep up with one another. The reaper is still harvesting and the plowman's ready to plow some more. And the one who is planting seeds in the vineyard is being overtaken by the one who's already harvesting the grapes and ready to tread them out and so on. The things that God does, the capacity of God to bless is such that he is able to overcome the things that we have lost. In verse 14, it says that they're going to build cities and inhabit them. Just turn back to chapter 5. Verse 11, in the middle it says, "You have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them." Chapter 9, the next part says, "They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them." But chapter 5, same verse says, "You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them." And it adds to this theme that when the Lord does the work of restoration, there is the opportunity now to really enjoy what we could never have enjoyed when it was just us. They were building houses, but there was no blessing in them, no enjoyment in them. They were planting vineyards, but they were getting no benefit from them because it was all apart from the Lord. But now the Lord gives them the power to actually enjoy the blessings that he gives them. He allows them to enjoy these blessings, this inheritance that we've been speaking about, and the daily blessings of this relationship. And they enjoy the same things that they tried to enjoy before, but there was no power to enjoy it because it was just to be consumed upon themselves. But here, in relationship, when the relationship with the Lord is put right, everything else is put right too. And just to link this with Hebrews chapter 12, the last verse of what we read in Hebrews 12 says that after the time of chastening, there is the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, exercised by it. So in discipline, we can chafe under it and not get the benefit of it. It is not a guarantee that because we are disciplined, we will get this benefit. What is the pathway for that? It is that we have to be trained by it. We have to accept it. We have to accept the value of what the Lord is showing us in discipline. And then it is guaranteed at that moment, it yields, it does yield, not that it may yield, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When we are exercised by the Lord's discipline, when we are made to feel that he is on our side disciplining us, because of his love, then that recognition of his work in us is going to have this result, the result that's described in Amos, that the things that have been lost are now, the joy of them is fully restored, and we are enjoying it in right relation to himself.
Verse 12 there says, "Restore." David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And so maybe that's a fitting way to tie it into the wine here, which we already spoke of, speaks of joy of the world. There's a wine there, but when it's of the Lord, it's this sweet or this new wine, which would be joy of the Lord. So restoring us to the joy of his salvation, which I think you alluded to it. If we spend 4 years away from the Lord, it's not going to put us in a place as if we had spent those 4 years with the Lord. But it could put us in a place where, like that man who all he was presented was the Lord Jesus, was walking, leaping, and praising God. And that's really a wonderful place to be.